New West Group is a nationally recognized healthcare staffing agency with over 30 years of experience connecting clinicians to leading health systems. In 2023, they were honored as the top travel nurse agency by nurse.org. But New West is more than just travel staffing. They excel in placing local, temp-to-hire, and direct talent as well. Discover their full-service concierge approach at newwestgroup.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Travel Nursing and Allied Life podcast. My name is Steve Curtin. I am the CEO of the Gypsy Nurse and TravCon, the Healthcare Traveler Conference. And for today's podcast episode, very happy to welcome Shannon McPeak, the founder of Operation Happy Nurse, to the podcast. Hi, Shannon. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great. Really appreciate your taking a few minutes here to spend some time with us and talk to our community about some of the great things that you're doing. The title of today's podcast is Stress to Strength, Shannon McPeak's Journey and the Mission of Operation Happy Nurse. And it is a fantastic mission. And you and I have had an opportunity to meet in the past, and I've listened to some of your discussions, which are very helpful, very inspiring, and really can't wait to talk a bit more about Operation Happy Nurse. But first, Shannon, I'd like for you to talk a bit about your personal journey. Obviously, that has an impact in Operation Happy Nurse and how you founded it, but would like to have you talk a little bit about your healthcare journey.
Yeah, of course. So I graduated from Purdue University in 2016. Boiler up for anyone else who is from Purdue or Indiana. I absolutely loved it. I felt that the education was amazing, but one thing I did notice moving on in my career that there was not a lot of education on how to care for yourself. It was all about how to care for your patients. So I went straight into the neonatal ICU after graduation. A lot of people believe that maybe you shouldn't go into an ICU or the NICU immediately, but to be honest, I'm not an adult nurse. I bless all of the adult nurses out there. I don't like it. I like my babies. I probably would not have stayed in nursing for as long as I did if I had not immediately went into NICU because it is such a beautiful place to be. I went straight into a nurse residency program in Washington, D.C., and I loved my coworkers, everyone around me, but I did not feel that university and the program adequately prepared me for the pressures that you are under as a nurse. When I started the residency program, we had to write this journal out, and she said, write our feelings, whatnot, our excitements, everything, and that at about 6 months after that, we would write another journal and that our perspective would completely change and that a lot of people enter the profession all excited, but then it kind of hits them at about 6 months that it's not all excitement, that there's a lot of anxiety, depression, burnout associated with the profession. And that at about 6 months, we were all going to struggle. So me being a new grad, being very confident in my skills and my knowledge, as one is when they first graduate, I was very, very excited to enter this field. I was entering into a NICU that had the capabilities to do surgery, had the capabilities to do ECMO, whole body cooling, had a transport team. It had a lot of growth trajectory that I wanted to be in and that I was really excited about, with my main goal doing transport nursing, specifically transport NICU nursing later on in my career. So I was very, very excited about the capabilities that this unit had. Yeah. So at that beginning journal, I was obviously very excited, and my ignorant self didn't believe the nurse residency instructor that at 6 months I was going to struggle. But sure enough, 6 months hit and I'm in a vastly different mental state than I was previously. Nursing, a lot of people don't understand that you are the last line of defense, that if a doctor writes an order, let's say medication, the pharmacy approves that medication, but you're the one that gives it. It feels like it's on you, even though there's system errors in place that occurred. You are the one that needs to check if small changes occur in your patient. You're the one that needs to make sure that medication is not given. If the pharmacy stocks the med wrong and you don't notice it right away and it's given, you're the one who should have caught that. And there's just so much pressure on one individual for the entire health of a human, even though a lot of it is system errors, that made me very nervous. Nurses started discussing errors that had happened in the past with previous employees. It was part of a way, I think, to scare us into being more careful. But what it did for me was create a seed of significant anxiety in me that developed into obsessive compulsive disorder at about, I don't know, probably like 6 months-ish. I was waking up with chest aches every day. I had to check things in multiples of three, but people around me wouldn't have necessarily recognized that, because when I'm at work, and you know my persona and my personality and whatnot, Steve, I'm very cool, calm, and collected, which I still am, even if I'm struggling internally. So what I like to tell people is that when you're looking around, those who don't seem like they're struggling might still be struggling. And that was me. At a certain point, I lost a patient. We had to send him out because at this period of time, we didn't have a surgeon. And so we sent the patient out, and I found out that this patient had passed away. And I struggled with it pretty significantly. And I lost, after that, a person that was very important to me in my life. They said that they could no longer be in my life because of the way I was acting, the lack of kindness and support that I was showing. But in all reality, I was extremely depressed. And so that was the whole beginning of my nursing career. And his choosing to leave my life was kind of the turning point for my mental, physical, and nursing journey.
And tell me how that translated into the foundation of Operation Happy Nurse. Obviously, that journey kind of led you to that. So how did you form Operation Happy Nurse?
Of course. So it took me a while to tell that I was struggling. A lot of it is gradual, or you think that maybe like you're just being weak, that sort of thing. So I knew that I was waking up with chest aches that I didn't have prior. That before, when you know like something bad happens and you're anxious about it, but that was just like all the time. So it was just a chest ache all the time. I knew that I was getting agitated more than I normally was. So things that wouldn't have previously bothered me were making me upset and angry. I knew that when bad things were happening at work, that I no longer was crying about them, that I was becoming numb towards them. I knew that I was doing a good job of hiding things at work. I was a good nurse, or I am a good nurse. Because you struggle with your mental health doesn't make you a bad nurse. I was doing the job that I needed to do. I was showing up to work every day. I was smiling. I was learning new things. I was taking care of harder patients, and I was excited to do so. But in my personal life, I was becoming numb. I was not getting sad about things, but I was getting angry about things. I wrote a journal, actually, I read recently, and I forgot that I wrote this, and it was shocking. I wrote that I was afraid that by the time I was 30, and I'm 30 now, that by the time I was 30, that I wasn't going to be human anymore, that I would be like a robot, that I wasn't going to feel things, and that I would just be blank. And I was very worried that if I stayed in this profession, that it was going to ruin me as a person. And that was very scary to read about. But what kind of snapped me out of this cycle of depression and anxiety was the individual choosing to leave my life. So although at the time I was very upset and angry that this person didn't stand by me in my time of need, I explained everything that was going on to them. I told them what was happening, and they still chose in that moment to leave my life. Later on, they chose to try to come back, but at that period of time, they chose to leave despite my explanation of what was happening to me. And I'm very grateful for that, because although I was upset at the time, it kind of slapped me in the face, and it made me realize that I couldn't continue living the way that I was living, that I needed to prioritize my well-being and myself. So I started working out as a big way for me to relieve anxiety and stress. I started cycling, even if it was 10 minutes a day, just to get rid of some of that negative energy. I started reading books again. I started trying new things. I started eating meals that were known to help with your mental health, because your gut is tied to your mental well-being. I started researching all these different things to help me positively cope with what we see as nurses, because what we see as nurses is extremely hard. And in doing so, obviously the job didn't get easier, but the way that I coped with it was better. And therefore, the numbness started to disappear. The agitation started to go away, and I was able to feel myself as a whole person again versus just a robot, like I said before. And at this time, I started thinking about nonprofits. I started volunteering for March of Dimes, and I loved volunteering for them. I loved helping the babies on that other level as well. But I knew that one of the things I wanted to do was travel nurse. So I was speaking to a coworker, and I told her that I was going to start travel nursing and whatnot. And she said, well, are you going to continue working for March of Dimes when you do so? And this was back in like 2018. And I said, you know, I really wish that there was a nonprofit to benefit the mental health of nurses that I could volunteer for instead. And she said, is there not? And we started looking it up. And back in 2018, there was nothing. So that was the start of Operation Happy Nurse. I knew I needed to create something to address this because there was no way that I was the only one that was dealing with it.
Did Shannon, as you moved to form Operation Happy Nurse, did anybody, I don't want to say, you know, was negative towards the, you know, towards what you were trying to do, but did any of particularly veteran nurses or people who have been in healthcare for a long time saying, listen, this is typical, this is overblown, you don't need to do these sorts of things, eventually these feelings will go away. Did you ever have anybody approach you with kind of that type of advice or thoughts around it?
So not nurses. Pretty much every nurse that I've spoken to has said this resource is needed. Anyone who's experienced the trauma that we experience is aware that it's not normal for a 22-year-old to be dealing with a baby's death, to be getting close to a family and then having someone that you start to care about taken away from you. Anyone who's in the profession is aware that what we do is not easy. Now, some of us might try to bury it down and numb ourselves to it, which is a coping mechanism many of us do. But anyone who's been in the profession knows that it's not an easy profession to be in. Where I did get negativity was from people outside of the profession. And I smirk because excuse my language, pisses me off. How can you speak on what we need when you've never actually been in the profession? But I did have people outside of the profession who seemed to know better than those in the profession and belittled what I was trying to create. But newsflash, it's 2024. We've been here.
We're still
clearly what we created is something that is needed. And that's what I like to tell people. Don't let a few bad commentary or people dictate what the rest of your trajectory looks like. Because if you're passionate enough about something and you believe in the cause that you have, those individuals truly, you can listen to what they have to say, but it doesn't matter if you believe in what you're doing.
Yeah, don't let it impact your mission. And so you've talked about your journey and kind of the formation of Operation Happy Nurse. Can you tell us a bit about its current state? Who's involved? I know you have an advisory board with lots of great people that are volunteering their time. But can you kind of tell us a little bit about that current mission, where you see it going in the future? Because it's been quite a ride over the past few years.
Yeah, so currently Operation Happy Nurse is a web-based free community platform for nurses. We offer a variety of positive coping mechanisms and preventative care measures for nurses. We're not necessarily a crisis resource, but we do offer things like discussion boards, that community aspect to be surrounded by people who understand what you're going through. We offer things like yoga, meditation, fitness, dietitians who will chat with you, recipes, again, building out that community aspect while providing positive coping mechanisms. And then if you need stuff like debriefing or support groups or therapy, we lead you to other organizations that are doing that really, really well. So we're focused more on that preventative care measures and surrounding yourself with people who understand you. It's completely free for nurses to utilize. I will never charge nurses for it. I don't think that nurses should have to pay for their mental well-being when they spend their lives caring for everybody else. So it will always be free. like I said, currently it's a web-based platform. What we're doing right now that I'm really, 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 really excited about is building.
Is this an announcement? Is this an announcement? Are we the
first
to hear?
It is. We're building a mobile application that is going to build it out and make everything that we have even better. And I just got off the phone with them. I don't think it's going to release this year, unfortunately. It'll release probably in the beginning of next year, but it is coming and it is really exciting. And there's a lot of new features and really cool stuff. But until then, we do have our web-based platform and all the free resources there for you to utilize. I have a team of about, like 60 volunteers that help me with all aspects of it. This includes volunteer dietitians, volunteer yoga, meditation, fitness instructors, volunteer chefs on board. We've got nurse volunteers. Like you said, I have a nurse advisory board. Because of the growth of Operation Happy Nurse, it was hard for me to juggle bedside and this at the same time while we're in this period of growth trajectory. So I did step away from bedside until we can level this out when it's at a point of I can give up some of the roles that I have sort of thing, or some of the hats that I wear. But until then, and moving forward, we started a nurse advisory board. Again, all my experience is in NICU, so I want to hear about what's happening in other fields of nursing, and I want to understand other avenues and other perspectives. So we started a nurse advisory board that meets monthly, and if you're interested in joining us, that would be great. We're always looking for a new help and new voices on the advisory board. We discuss issues that's happening within the profession, as well as what's happening with Operation Happy Nurse and how we can better support the nursing profession as a whole. So it's a really cool family team, and I love every single person that volunteers for us. Many of them have been there for years, which is such a cool feeling. And it's such a family. So if you want to be a part of that, please do not hesitate to reach out to me.
And they would find you at operationhappynurse.org, correct?
Yes, yes.
And I would assume that there is some information there about how to volunteer and your contact information, those sorts of things.
Yeah, there's a connect with us page and email at the bottom footer that you can reach out to, and we will, you know, find a place that fits for you. One thing that I like to say is that I just want to place people where they're passionate about stuff. So if you are really passionate about reading, then you can help us with our book club. If you kind of have an interest in event planning, I don't care if you've ever been an event planner. We just want to help people find other passions that not only benefit the community that they're a part of, but where they can, you know, see other portions of themselves and explore other portions of themselves.
Very cool. Well, let's take a step back now and let's talk a bit about the profession itself. I know that you're not currently doing nursing at the bedside at this point, but obviously you've done a lot of that in the past. But given what you're doing now, as well as the volunteer folks that you have in your advisory board, what's kind of your general assessment of the nursing climate, what's happening out there, some of the struggles and challenges that people are continuing to face, and maybe some of the things that can be done to improve the situation?
Yeah, I think that a common misconception is that these issues that are coming to light now didn't exist prior, but they've been around. What has been happening that we now are showing is unacceptable has been happening, but now we're feeling the strength and the support and the community to come forward about all of this. There has been certain situations with individuals I've spoken to that has showed me a level of complete lack of care for the healthcare workers that work in the hospital and centers settings. And without getting too deep into it, a couple of the things I'm discussing at TravCon include workplace violence, which is something I'm very passionate about.
Yes.
Which has always been around, but we're now feeling comfortable coming forward about it. Because prior to this, we, as a collective healthcare worker entity, have been silenced from discussing this sort of thing. obviously, mental health is something I'm very, very passionate about, and the lack of resources and community and listening to the professions that you're trying to provide care for. I think a large issue is that we collectively don't feel listened to many of the times. And I can't speak for every hospital and every health center, because there are some good eggs out there, you know, I'm sure there are, but a lot of nurses and healthcare workers don't feel that they're being listened to, that they're yelling into a void and there's no response coming back, or our issues and things we're bringing up are being belittled. And I just don't think it's logical for individuals to not listen to the people who are experiencing this day in and day out when they've never necessarily stepped foot in that role or in that unit to truly understand the dynamics of it. When we talk about patient to nurse ratios, someone who's not in the bedside may think that 8 patients, 9 patients, 10 patients for a 12.5 hour shift doesn't seem like a lot, because they don't know the day to day of what's going on. And I think that's a problem. I think in order to move forward past these issues that nurses, healthcare workers, respiratory therapists, doctors, everyone in healthcare is yelling about, they need to experience that firsthand if they're going to make decisions about the future of our professions. Because how can you truly make adequate decisions if you don't understand the ground zero of it all? So I think in order to better things, both in travel nursing and in hospitals and healthcare in general, there needs to be a level of either listening or a level of truly understanding in order to move forward to better the system as a whole.
Why do you think, when we go back to some of the mental health concerns that we have now for nurses and healthcare workers in general, why do you think that now people are more comfortable talking about it? I mean, I think as a society, we're more comfortable talking about it, certainly, than we were 20 years ago. But why specifically in healthcare are we more comfortable about it? And why do you think it was kept in the background before? Was there a stigma? Were people afraid of, it affecting their standing at their job? How do you see this evolution having come about?
So I have heard from many of nurses that individuals who either worked with them or them themselves have been fired based on discussing their mental health challenges, whether that's anxiety, depression. They've been told that they're lesser of a nurse because of it. They can't adequately take care of their patients, and this is what they have been told, and therefore they had to leave that role. When in all reality, anyone who's in this profession who does not experience a level of anxiety or depression associated with the things that we see, it would be shocking for that type of individual to exist, because what we see is so traumatic. And to say it's anything else, I think belittles what we do as nurses. I mean, to experience death in general is a difficult thing for many people to experience. If you're driving down the road and you see a car accident happen and you see someone who has been unalived from that situation, it is really hard for anyone to see that. They think about it all day, right? Like, they'll go tell their family and their friends that this was shocking to them. But in the medical profession, most of us see that on multiple occasions, and most of us see it starting at a young age. And to just expect us as individuals and as compassionate individuals to not be affected by that, but still continue to provide compassionate care, to still show that we care about the patients, but not get too close to them. Because if we get too close to them, then we're going to care if something happens to them. Like, that's not how nurses are, right? So I think for the longest time, nurses and healthcare workers were afraid to discuss this because they made it seem like we were lesser of nurses because of the struggles that we experienced. But in all reality, it's normal for us. It's a normal body response to have to the things that we see, but we were told that it's not. We were told that it was weak. Everyone around us was stoic. No one talked about their feelings. Even when I first started nursing, we all just moved on after a patient died. From the out, skirts, right? Like it looked like we all moved on, but internally, maybe we're thinking about that every day, every week, maybe months down the line. And we were just all afraid that people would view us less if we spoke about it. But then, you know, a couple individuals start coming forward about stuff, a couple people who say enough is enough. And then you hear them talking and you realize that their experiences are the same as your experiences. And this entire time that you felt isolated by that, the entire time that you felt so alone and so weak, you realize that in all reality, the journey you just went through is a normal journey. And that makes it okay for you to have those feelings. It takes away that power that those people had by belittling your feelings and making you feel less than for having them, and now makes it a normal occurrence and makes you realize that, yeah, coding a patient, feeling ribs crack, feeling all of this stuff is not a normal thing for someone to have to experience. And that is just, I don't know, it's eye-opening. And after one person starts talking and they realize it's normal, then another starts talking and they realize it's normal. And all of a sudden you have this community of people that now feels this comfort and this safety net to be able to voice their opinions and their feelings and let things go that they've been holding in for so long.
Do you think that the pandemic had anything to do with it as well in terms of, and you and I have been in a panel, we're on a panel a couple of years ago to kind of talk about post-pandemic, you know, issues in healthcare. But do you think that, you know, because it was a national crisis, a worldwide crisis, so many people were affected by the pandemic, and obviously nurses played a gigantic role in terms of care of people that were suffering from, you know, severe COVID issues. Do you think that that kind of brought the importance of particularly nurses to the forefront and enabled people to talk about things a little bit more?
I think it helps identify the role of a nurse better. Yeah. You know, nurses aren't necessarily talked about as much as doctors are. Our role isn't, and now we are, but I'm talking prior to the pandemic. Our role isn't necessarily or wasn't necessarily as understood. You know, I think things like people dressing up as like a sexy nurse ruins things for us a little bit on our role. It also, I don't think people kept up to date with what we do unless they had personally been in the hospital setting. Yeah. There wasn't a lot of shows on us. There were a couple, but not a lot. And even when there were TV shows, they weren't accurate. And so I think the pandemic helped shed light on what we do as a profession.
Yeah.
Obviously, levels of PTSD and burnout and depression all skyrocketed after the pandemic, specifically with adult nurses. I luckily didn't get hit as bad in the neonatal ICU, but many of those adult nurses were dealing with a lot more death than they usually did. And those adult nurses already deal with a lot of death. So adding in the patient load, adding in people who didn't want to listen to different protocols and things like that, it got very stressful and really difficult for people. And then there was the lack of support. I know a handful of hospitals removed therapy during the pandemic because more people needed it and it was costing them more. I know this because a couple people have come forward to me about it, which is just disgusting. And that can be a different rant for another day. But the moment people started needing that support from their facilities and they realized that that support wasn't there, you know, that exemplified some other mental health issues as well, or mental health challenges as well, because of that lack of what felt like a safety net and that lack of being understood. So yes, I think the pandemic shed light on what was happening and shed light on what nurses do. But what I like to say is that this didn't become a new problem during the pandemic. Yeah. It just got worse and it got more highlighted. But mental health challenges have been existing in nursing for a very long time. Yeah. And healthcare.
Yeah. Well, and that's a great perspective because I think perfectly said, because it obviously as a pandemic and the scope obviously that goes along with that and so many severe illnesses and unfortunately deaths that we saw during the pandemic, you know, everybody was touched by this disease, you know, or illness, and nurses were the issue of nurses as healthcare providers and so forth, and really at the front lines, it really did bring it to the forefront, and in many in and from my perspective, in many positive ways, as you said, it's people kind of understanding the role of nurse, how important they are, the front lines, and really dispelling the old-fashioned notions of nursing and really understanding what, you know, what nurses do.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to nurses that are, you know, out there now and at the bedside that are experiencing challenges, that are experiencing or starting to feel like things are going downhill, they're spiraling with their mental health, and they need some help or assistance? What advice would you give them?
I think one of the most important things is to allow yourself to feel the emotions that you're feeling. I buried mine down, and to this day, it sometimes feels like there's a box inside of me that is about to explode, and it's hard to open that box because once you open it, there's all these emotions that come out that you have buried for a very long time. So I suggest emptying that box, allowing yourself to feel things, because it's a lot more difficult to feel them later and a lot scarier to feel them later than feel them in the moment. Give yourself that space and that grace to have reactions to things you are allowed to have reactions to. If you do feel like you are at a point of crisis, we as nurses tend to be very strong and stoic people. We tend to be empathetic and put our service into those around us, work double time to care for our friends, our family, our patients, our coworkers, all of that. But occasionally it is okay to also put that care and shine that light on yourself. And if you notice that you are in a point of crisis, please, please, please seek help. It's not selfish to seek help. It's important. So whether that is calling a suicide prevention line, if you're at that point of crisis, 988, or the crisis text line, if you're uncomfortable speaking to someone one-on-one, you can text them, or finding things like a support group. Don't clock out, host support groups. It's amazing. Debriefing the front lines does debriefing sessions, which is so important. If your hospital doesn't do debriefing or doesn't do it adequately, seek out debriefing the front lines. Practice caring for yourself the way that you would care for your friends or your family. How would you react to them in the situation that you're in, and try to do what you would do to provide them the care to yourself, if that makes sense. Just realize that it's not selfish to want your life to look happy, to be good, to be light. It's okay if the role that you're in isn't the role that you're meant to be in. It's okay to make mistakes along the way. It's okay to not always be happy. And it's okay to make the changes that guide you to the future that you want. It's not selfish to do so. So I think the most important thing is just acknowledging that and allowing yourself to feel emotions without feeling guilt surrounding that.
What would your advice be to people that are experiencing some issues and kind of, you know, there's a difference between self-care and then subsequently seeking help? What are some warning signs that you would say, you know, if you're experiencing this, your advice would be, you know, seek some sort of professional help.
Yeah.
Don't try and take care of yourself on your own. Get some professional help.
So I think that, you know, you should be mixing both, right? Like, you should always be like caring for yourself, even if you are seeking professional help. But I can't speak for everyone because everyone's threshold is different, but I can tell you about myself and what things I noticed when I needed professional help. I was, again, waking up with chest aches every day. I developed OCD. OCD is not just like cleaning things. That might be your OCD tendency, but it is the feeling that if you don't do something a certain amount of times, that something bad is going to happen. There are two types of OCD. One is knowing that what you're doing is irrational, and one is truly believing that what you're doing is going to help something in the future. So for me, when I first started nursing, my OCD was if I did these things a certain amount of time, like check the oven a certain amount of time, check the stove, that sort of thing, then a patient wouldn't die the next day. Mm-hmm. At that point, I should have sought professional help, because now I'm struggling with OCD pretty much lifelong. It ebbs and flows. It's not always the same. It is hard to get rid of. But at that point of realizing that I was developing these obsessive compulsive tendencies, I should have sought help. What I now have learned through speaking with professionals is that because I wasn't always able to provide safety to my patients, I had to find ways to make sure safety existed other places. So that's why I would check the locks on my door. I would check the stove to make sure, you know, it wasn't on. I would check under my bed. Every one of my tendencies had to do with safety, which is very interesting later on when you look at it. So at that point, I should have sought help. Prior to that, when I was waking up with chest aches every day, that's not normal. And at the time, I didn't realize that it really wasn't normal. You know, I was like, oh, I'm just anxious. Like, I've always, you know, you get in a fight with a friend.
Too much caffeine or something. Or.
But no, like, that's not normal. I should have sought professional help. Like I said earlier, once I started implementing positive coping mechanisms, things got better for me. So that's why I say it's a combination effect. You can seek professional help while simultaneously caring for yourself. Professional help can look different to everyone too. It might not be like therapy for one person. It could be group therapy. It could be support groups. It could be debriefing sessions. Like, it could look different as long as it has to do with a professional involved in it. I think group therapy would be a really beneficial thing for myself. I personally have struggled in therapy because a lot of my trauma and a lot of my mental health challenges have to do with the nursing profession. And a lot of therapists aren't necessarily or don't necessarily have experience in healthcare specifically or what we specifically go through. So I found it difficult to find someone who understands the unique stressors that we're under, but like a group therapy session with someone who does do that would be extremely beneficial, or debriefing the front lines would have been extremely beneficial. Support groups, like, professional help can look different for everyone. If you're finding it difficult to get out of bed when you're normally a very social person, that's another thing that I noticed for myself. When you're fine, I'm a very social human being. I love socializing. If I'm in bed not wanting to talk to people, that's a sign that I'm not doing well and I should probably seek professional help. So it depends on everybody and everybody is different. But if you're noticing things, you're like, why did I just get upset about that? Why did I just get angry? Or why do I feel the need to do this a certain amount of times, or why am I so tired all the time? That's not normal. If that's not your norm, it's time to seek help to figure out why that norm is changing.
Great information and great advice. Shannon, in the last couple of minutes we have together, I would like to talk about your appearance at TravCon. For those that don't know, you were a featured speaker at TravCon. We're really excited to have you this year. You had an opportunity to attend last year, and we're thrilled to have you as a featured speaker. You get two sessions. I think the first one is Traveler Rights and Workplace Violence. That's Monday at 10 a.m. And then you have Mental Health and Healthcare, Reflecting Inward and Recognizing Subtle Signs. And that's Tuesday at 12. You want to talk a little bit about each one of those sessions?
Yeah, I am extremely passionate about workplace safety. I personally lost a friend to workplace violence. So I am very, very passionate about that. I have had other friends experience workplace violence pretty significantly. So this is something I'm very, very passionate about. And I think it's not talked about enough. It's starting to be talked about, but there's not a lot of information on what your resources are if something like this occurs, or if you're noticing violence in your workplace that's not being addressed. There's not a lot of talk on that. A lot of facilities will not expressly tell you what to do in those situations, and many will kind of brush it under the rug if something does occur. Now, again, there are some facilities that do a very good job, but it's still not discussed what your steps are. There's protocols for everything. Why is there not one for workplace violence when healthcare workers experience workplace violence at a higher rate than police officers and prison guards? Like, we should know that going into the profession, and we should know what resources are available to us if we find ourselves in the unfortunate position of experiencing this. So in my workplace violence discussion, I will talk about what resources all are available to you, what to look for, what workplace violence consists of. I think that a lot of people don't realize that workplace violence encompasses a lot of things. So we'll discuss that and discuss what is available to you if something like this does occur. some content warnings there. Again, we're talking about workplace violence. So if you have experienced workplace violence and you are not ready to listen about it, we can always send you some resources separately. If you want to reach out to us on operationhappynurse.org, I'm more than happy to send you those resources without hearing the statistics and everything behind it if you have personally experienced it and don't feel comfortable listening to it in person. So please reach out to me that way. If you are a individual who works for a health center and are maybe there as an exhibitor, this is a really good one for you to come to if you have a moment to, because you also need to know how to care for the individuals that you are representing if this occurs. So please, please, please come join us. The second one, should I just go straight into the second one that I'm doing?
Yeah, please.
Okay. The second one I'm doing is mental health and noticing the subtle signs within yourself. Like I said, it took me a little while to realize what was going on with me. And so I want to help other individuals kind of look internally, ground themselves, body scan themselves to see the small changes that are happening while simultaneously providing, again, resources to help kind of bring yourself back to that ground and to heal yourself if you do notice that maybe you have reached the point of depression, either mild, moderate, or severe, or you have reached that point of anxiety, or maybe you think you have a diagnosis of anxiety that you didn't know that you had, whether that's OCD or generalized anxiety. I want us to all look internally together to notice what's happening within ourselves so that we can, again, find the resources we need before we reach the point of crisis.
Well, Shannon, again, we're so excited to have you at TravCon. I know that people are really looking forward to your speaking sessions. If anybody wants to learn more about Shannon's sessions or any of the other sessions at TravCon, then go to our website, travcon.org. TravCon is taking place September 22nd through the 25th. So we're just about a month away. So I want to make sure you book your hotel rooms and book your flights and all that good stuff. But they're going to be great sessions. And really, TravCon is really all about speakers like Shannon and the messages they bring and really trying to help healthcare travelers out there in the healthcare profession in general. So Shannon, I look forward to seeing you out there again. Thank you for taking the time to spend a few minutes with us and talk about your journey as well as Operation Happy Nurse and the great work that you guys do. And again, it's going to be fantastic to hear your sessions out there. So we look forward to seeing you soon, and we hope that we can have you back on our podcast again. There's so much to talk about. You guys do such great work. So we'd love to have you back again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Steve. And I'm so excited to see everyone at TravCon.
We look forward to it.
Bye.